Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians. 720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Tell them, Sandra, all you do, going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
The big weekend.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. It's Tuesday, so it's obviously not the big weekend day. Apologies about that mix-up in sound. But first hard fact of the day, 344,000. That's how many students the Lagos State Government says it has equipped with computer skills, including coding. Governor Sanwo-Olu said that the government has trained 1 million Lagosians to be software developers. Are you one of them? Is your child one of the 344,000? Throughout the show, when you call in or send a message about our stories, tell me if you are one of these coders that Lagos State has trained, or if you know some of them. Second hard fact of the day, 31. The Nigeria Police Force has dismissed 31 officers for various offences between April 2021 and today. So stuff like police brutality, extrajudicial killings, extortion, etc., etc. I think it's important to track stuff like this, to track this number, because we know the level of offence in the police force is much higher than that. So hopefully we keep seeing an upward trend of more orderly room trials, more convictions, more dismissals of the so-called bad eggs of the force. I've got a third hard fact for you. In the last year alone, Lagos State Domestic and Sexual Violence Agency got 4,860 reports. 4,860, that's more than 400 cases a month. And that's just the reported cases. Sexual and domestic violence. There's still such a big part of life in our society, and we all have to play a part to eradicate them if we are serious about moving into the light as a civilization. I've also got a fourth hard fact of the day for you. There's so much happening, and I couldn't squeeze all of them into the big three. But the Immigration Service is investigating the alleged extortion of passengers at the Lagos airport. Yesterday, I told you about a Nigerian woman who said that the officers made her pay 10,000 naira before stamping her passport on her way to Dubai. Now, Issa Idris, the NIS Comptroller General, has ordered a probe. He has also ordered that the entire shift that were at work at that time be withdrawn from work for now to allow the investigation to go unhindered. For me, it's always great when we amplify a story here on Hard Facts and I see the government snap into action over it. I love it when that happens. And I hope that it shows you that we're not just talking here. Talking works by making it harder to hide problems. So a big thank you to the woman who stepped up and told her story. If you witness a story or a news event that you want Lagos to know about, give us a call on 01465-7175. That number takes you straight to our newsroom and they'll cover that story. 01465-7175. 1 million Lagosians listen to this show. They cannot be wrong. If they think it's news, it probably is. Thank you for listening. Let's dive right into today's show, right? So we'll talk about Atiku Abubakar's comments about what a northern voter needs. Then let's talk about Abike Dabiri's comments about Nigerians in Indonesia. And then let's talk about LNG declaring force majeure over the flooding. On Community U Report, Chukwudi will be here talking to you about your community. And then on the Big Hard Fact, let's go on the road to 2023. So much is happening with the campaigns. We've got Atiku, Obi, Tinubu, all of them speaking at the Arewa Joint Committee Town Hall. So we're going to X-ray their policy points and their campaign promises. Because remember, Road to 2023 is where you come for in-depth coverage of policy, manifestos, promises, their feasibility. We take a look at all of that on the Road to 2023. So make sure you don't miss it today at 5 p.m. Now, after the news at 6, let's step down. Should parents put their children in the position of playing peacemaker between mom and dad? We'll have that conversation at 6 p.m. today, after the news at 6, from 6:15, sorry. Should parents put their children in the position of playing peacemaker between mom and dad? As usual, all the updates will come your way at the top of every hour. But let's get started with today's Big Three. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. These are your hard facts. Was Atiku's comment about what northern voters want divisive? Was his comment divisive? Should the NITCOM boss resign for labeling Nigerians in Indonesia drug smugglers? How will NLNG's force majeure affect federal government's ability to fund the budget? Those are the Big Three. Lagos, let's talk. Our first story is NLNG declaring force majeure over the floods. NLNG says that most of the operators who supplied them with natural gas had already declared force majeure because floodwaters were stopping them from accessing and running their facilities. So now, without gas coming in, LNG cannot meet their supply obligations. And that's why they are now declaring force majeure. Now you're wondering, okay, what's force majeure? It's something you declare when an extraordinary circumstance stops you from meeting your end of a contract. Usually you can only declare it for things like conflict, natural disasters like earthquakes, hurricanes, or floods in this case. So that's what force majeure is. And now let's talk about the impact of this news. Because you're like, okay, we think Kosai with NLNG. Well, NLNG is a joint venture between NNPC, Shell, Total and Eni. It exports natural gas all over the world. Some of the profit goes to the Federation. So NLNG going down right now means that government revenues could go down significantly until the company goes back online. And as you all know, the federal government already has serious revenue problems. Beyond NLNG, the flood is still doing damage across the Niger Delta. In Yanagoa and other parts of Bayelsa, the flood is bringing corpses out of graves. We're also seeing it happen in Delta State. Speaking of Delta State, the candidate of the NMPP, Rabiu Kwankwaso, donated relief materials to those who have been displaced by the flood in Delta State. We're also getting reports from Jigawa State. UNICEF says that 30 health centers are completely damaged, while over 200 are partially damaged to different degrees. 27 schools are flooded. 18 have been converted to IDP camps, so there's no learning going on there either. And UNICEF is donating supplies to affected communities that are worth over 230 million naira. This is a crisis on our hands. So that's some of the impact that we're seeing from these floods. The federal government says that the floods could continue into November because of the high rainfall. I was watching CNN last night, and an expert who was speaking to one of their reporters was saying that we could see the waters rise even higher. So let me take your thoughts on this story first. What do you think about NLNG going down? I love my listeners because I know that there are people who work with NLNG who listen to the show, or industry experts, gas suppliers, who people who are in that value chain, who have insights that they're going to share as well. What about the continued impact on communities across the country? Do you have family members who have been displaced by this flood? Have you been displaced by this flood? Perhaps you're listening to us from one of the affected states. 33 out of 36. Like Lagos, it's not connecting for a lot of people that this thing is 33 out of 36 states flooded. 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. You can also reach out to us if you're a woman on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Of course, we've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. Hello, thank you very much for calling us.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
Will you permit, my name is Anthony from Ikeja.
Anthony.
Can you permit me to talk about the remarks about Atiku's meeting in Kaduna?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, now, like some people for the, I watched it live, and I deduced it to in a way that I want to explain to the whole world now.
Okay.
Is it that some people do not understand English interpretation, or people just because they have hatred? I'm not a northerner, but I'm only trying to interpret what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
What I heard him said is that he is a bridge builder, that he is a pan-Nigerian and pan-African, that the North does not need to have an Igbo president to be protected, or any other person from other side or Yoruba person. But people are misquoting it into a kind of bad context.
Okay.
He did not say that Nigeria does not require Igbo or Yoruba president. Let Nigerians sit down and go and listen to that clip very well.
I'll play the clip. Don't worry. I'll play it.
You understand? People should. Somebody sent it to me. I said I've watched it and I've also extracted it. What he meant is that because he's somebody that is known, he has been in the system for a very long time. He has businesses across all parts of Nigeria. So that is why he said, he told his people that the idea of saying that one person must be from one particular area is not the kind of politics we should play now, even though some of us do not want the North to come back. But they should not say, because he said that, now it should become talk of the time. People should talk about manifesto, what they want to do, how Nigeria will be better, not by people talking this kind of trash.
Anthony, thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
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 Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Kazikwagi.
Atiku's statement is not only divisive, it's insultive, it's dramatic-tive, it's against-tive. And see, if you leave Atiku will send Igbo and Yoruba to China. It's not dangerous.
Okay. First of all, your network is very bad. Second of all, I think what you're saying may be construed as inflammatory. So let's just refrain from saying stuff like that. We've got AA in our jaw on the line. AA, how are you?
Fine.
Welcome.
And how is everything?
Everything's fine.
Yeah. Please, see, this is an emergency time and the injury time for the country.
Okay.
Brethren, sisters and brothers are dying in various parts of the country, in the Niger Delta, and very close to the flood areas.
Right.
We should focus on that. I don't know, does these people have brain at all to think? They are campaigning when people are dying. instead of thinking or finding solution to what should be done, as people should be emergency here and there to remove people from where there is a flood and how to take care of people. People are talking about the election. See, in fact, if I am God, I will stop the election. I will do something that people will not believe. What are we? If it is Americans, by now you will be seeing helicopters flying up and down to carry people from where they are from. Are they not seeing the videos that are posting everywhere when water is taking over the old people? What is wrong with Nigerians? Go, Nigeria.
Hey, from Ojo, thank you very much for calling. If you just tuned in, hello to you. Good afternoon. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. And we just shared our first story with you. The damage the flood is still inflicting across Nigeria. Remember yesterday I told you 33 out of 36 states in this country have been affected by this flood. NLNG has declared force majeure. They say that most of the operators who supplied them with natural gas had already declared force majeure because flood waters were stopping them from accessing and running their facilities. So without gas coming in, LNG cannot meet their supply obligations, and that's why they are declaring force majeure. And I explained to you that force majeure is when something, you know, happens to stop you from meeting your end of a contract, something extraordinary. Usually you can only declare it, you know, during conflicts like wars or natural disasters like earthquakes or flooding, you know, or hurricanes. And you think about a story like this and you're like, okay, well, what's the impact? And I explained earlier on that it means that NLNG cannot remit revenues to the federal government, because again, NLNG is a joint venture between NNPC, Shell, Total, Eni. They export gas all over the world. Some of the profit from that goes to the Federation. If they go down right now, it means that government revenues could go down significantly until the company comes back online. So as a nation that is currently dealing with revenue problems, with a federal government dealing with revenue generation problems, this is definitely not something we want on our plate at the moment. And then I also told you that beyond NLNG, the flood is still doing damage all across the Niger Delta, Yenagoa, other parts of Bayelsa. Flood is bringing corpses, dead body. They come out from grave because of the flooding. We're seeing it happen in Delta State. We're seeing reports from Jigawa State as well. 30 health centers are completely damaged, according to UNICEF. Over 200 are partially damaged, according to UNICEF. They have different degrees of damage. 27 schools are flooded in Jigawa. 18 other schools have been converted to IDP camps. So it means that there are more children out of school because of this flooding. UNICEF is donating supplies to the affected communities. They've donated supplies worth over 230 million naira. The presidential candidate of NMPP has also donated relief materials to those who are affected by the floods, you know. So our first story is the impact that we're still seeing from these floods. Federal government says that this thing could continue into November. And from my experience, when I was in Yenagoa in 2012, when this flooding first happened as badly as this, it took a while for Yenagoa to recover, for Bayelsa as a whole to recover. I remember that I lived in a place that did not get flooded. I was very lucky. I lived in Erepa. And a lot of the people that I worked with had to move into my house then because their own houses were flooded. So let's talk about this for a bit. And yes, Atiku is waiting for us in front. So is Abike Dabiri. We'll talk about all of that. But let's talk about our first story. What do you think about NLNG going down? What do you think about the continued impact on communities across the country? Do you have family members who have been affected by the flood? Do you have friends who have been impacted by the flood? Do you have, if you're a transporter, what has it done for your business? If you're a food seller, what has this flood done to your supplies? You know, 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
I have Emmanuel on the line.
Emmanuel, welcome. Go ahead.
The flood is massive, as I once said.
Yeah.
And we blame leaders for too long. And this time around, I want to blame followers.
Okay.
The reason is, we've been shouting up NEPA for God's node. I mean, for too long. We voted in 1999. We voted in 2003, 2011. Until now, we are still shouting up NEPA. The flood didn't just come. The flood has been coming for a very long time. And for a follower, I think you should introspect, sit down deeply, and look which of these people, these candidates that we are going to, because like it or not, we are the one electing these people. Which of them can fix this thing? Which of them is coming? I just want to become a president. So I think it is time for us to fix this country. We either fix this now or we leave it forever to be like this. Thank you and good afternoon.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Alex is in Alimosho. Hi, Alex. Hello, Alex.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, Alex. Welcome.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm very well.
For this. Well, my take is on this flooding. It's quite disturbing because for you to have rolled out those information, because this is the first time hearing that such thing is pulling out dead bodies from the grave.
Yeah.
And that is quite a big challenge for our country. And look at them, a lot of people are now being displaced and people have died.
Yeah.
But the blame, I give it to those who are the MDs, and the government also has their own fault in this. Because when you fail to dig dam, which is supposed to control this flooding, this is not a natural disaster. It is something that is being made by man. And the blame also goes to the previous government as well, who failed also to construct the dam that is supposed to control this flooding.
Let's take a break. Thank you so much for calling.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Our second story is the controversy around Atiku Abubakar's comments at the Arewa Joint Committee Town Hall. I'm going to play that video for you. It's the first video I'll play for you. The PDP presidential candidate spoke at Arewa House on Saturday, and his answer to one question grabbed a lot of attention. He was asked why northern voters should trust him. If you're watching us live, I'm about to play the video for you. If you cannot watch us live, by the way, our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM on YouTube. I'm sure you've seen this video so many times, but if you haven't, watch it live. And if you cannot watch live, let me play the audio for you.
I think what the average northerner needs is somebody who is from the north and who also understands the other parts of Nigeria and who has been able to build bridges across the rest of the country. This is what the northerner needs. He doesn't need a Yoruba candidate or an Igbo candidate. This is what the northerner needs. So I believe I stand before you as a pan-Nigerian of northern origin. Thank you very much.
Mostly it was the beginning and the end of that comment that some Nigerians had a problem with, not the middle, you know. So they didn't have a problem with the middle of what he said, you know, the part, the problem they had with what you just heard is the part where he said the average northerner wants a northern president. And that part at the end where he said they don't want a Yoruba president or an Igbo president. They want a pan-Nigerian of northern origins. Very clear words. The reactions were swift. APC's publicity secretary, Felix Morka, said, quote, if, as Atiku believes, the average northerner needs a northern president now, after a northern president, when will they ever not need a northern president? End quote. The Labour Party have also pounced on the comment. Yunus Atanko, the Obi campaign's spokesperson, said, quote, "What we observed is that it is unfair for somebody who had been in the saddle of leadership of this country to play the ethnic card as a way of generating support. Our principal has made it clear long before now that even when people are trying to play ethnic agenda, nobody should look at him as an Igbo candidate. Our movement is a Nigerian project for the Nigerian people. So in the interest of our democracy and unity of this country, which of course we represent, I think the former vice president should apologize to Nigerians in such a way that it would show him as a true leader of a free country," end quote. Afenifere and Ohanaeze Ndigbo have also condemned the comment, but Atiku's media advisor, Paul Ibe, says it's all a misunderstanding based on a joke. Paul Ibe said, quote, "For the benefit of the innocent public who might be hoodwinked by the usual behavior of APC in telling a big lie, what transpired was a direct question to Atiku to address the northern audience on why he should be voted for by the northern electorate. In answering this question, Atiku started with a joke by addressing the questioner as Mr. Northerner, which is a veiled criticism of why he limited his question to the northern audience in the first place," end quote. Now, I played the video for you earlier, so let me ask. Did it come across to you like Atiku was joking? Or like he was serious? If you just tuned in and you didn't hear the footage, you didn't hear the comment when I played it, or you didn't watch it on our live stream, let me play it for you again.
I think what the average northerner needs is somebody who is from the north, and who also understands the other parts of Nigeria, and who has been able to build bridges across the rest of the country. This is what the northerner needs. He doesn't need a Yoruba candidate or an Igbo candidate. This is what the northerner needs. So I believe I stand before you as a pan-Nigerian of northern origin. Thank you very much.
Did it come across to you like Atiku was joking? Did it come across to you like he was serious? Also, you decide what you believe he meant. And how do you feel about what he said? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to The Big Three on Hard Facts. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
My name is Matthew. Huh? I'm right now. I'm calling from KK.
Hi, Matthew. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, you see, this statement means what it means.
Okay.
It is clear to everybody what Atiku was saying.
Okay.
And his president has also found him culpable. This is an Atiku that deleted a tweet condemning the killing of Deborah just because he thought that condemnation would affect his candidacy negatively. And these are the things he's been talking behind the media. These are the soil that their mind there in the north. We are not enough, we are not enough, we are not enough. Such a person, this kind of thing, and somebody come on air and try to defend it as if we don't have ears to hear or that we are stupid. See, you said that people have problem with from the beginning and to the end. There's everything wrong with everything he said there. He said the Northerners need a Northerner. He said it there. They need a Northerner. They don't need an evil person or evil person. What they not need is a Northerner to be president. Why did he say the Northerner need a Nigerian? And he's a Nigerian, he's a pan-Nigerian. And he has the capacity to deliver. Why would you use that word, that they need a Northerner?
and somebody will come on and tell us, I think we are stupid. This guy, I don't want to use a very bad word here, but this guy, these are the things that he's saying behind closed doors. And he made that bluff because he was beginning to feel that he could just say anything.
Matthew, thank you very much for calling. Sharon is in Ikorodu. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
The statement of Atiku is really contradictory.
Okay.
Because in the very beginning when he came on board, he was like, he wants to unify Nigeria. But that statement alone has said otherwise. That it's literal. It's not something that anybody needs to really understand in a different way. It was clear. How do you say that you are a northerner, you are a northern origin, and then someone is coming to interpret it? It doesn't really need any other interpretation. It's a clear interpretation for an ordinary person to understand. And I don't think there's anything that would be said. I think he owes the country an apology because he has signed the treaty, the peace treaty that says that there will not be, with what he has just said, with what the comment he has made, I don't know, maybe they should check their media, whoever writes speeches, campaign speeches, so that he'll be mindful. But with what he has said, he owes the country an apology if he wants to really unify the country.
That's right. Sharon, thank you so much for calling. Well, this wasn't a campaign speech. He was responding to a question about why the North should vote for him. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. I am very well. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Alex.
Welcome, Alex.
Sandra, am I allowed to call one of your callers a liar?
Ah.
I'm not?
You know, you are.
I am?
Yes, you are.
Yes, the gentleman who was trying to interpret some English interpretation, blah, 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 earlier on. Okay, so that's settled. I have to do that. Yes. Now, the second thing I want to say, for those people who think that, oh, he was talking to these people, so let's excuse him. He was talking to these, even when Bolasie Tinubu said that in Emiloko, they said he was talking to his APC caucus, governors, and this and that. Let me tell you, when a candidate who needs your vote speaks like that, you should safely go home and assume that he just insulted your intelligence. Don't make excuses for people like this. Don't make excuses for them. Many of the countries that you people go to for holiday and all this, a group of people came together and decided to design the kind of society they want. Do you understand? These young people, some of them are better and smarter than the leaders that they are killing themselves over. It's your time. Let me speak directly to young people. It's your time to design the Nigeria of your dreams. Don't fall. These 70-something-year-old candidates, permit me, Sandra, to say that they are stuck in a certain age in time. That's why they come up with these nonsensical, you know, narratives as a way of, you know, trying to curry votes from people, from the electorate. I hope I've not spoken too much, Sandra.
No, haven't. Thank you very much, Alex. Always a pleasure to hear from you. We've got Sunday on the line. Sunday is the last call I'll take, and then I'll bring you our final story. Hi, Sunday.
Sandra. President Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. Good evening.
Yeah, Sandra, you see, how will I describe this? It's playing out. You see, we Nigerians, we have not discovered the kind of persons, the origin we originated from. You see, we're kind of detribalized from the origin. We have this instinct of tribalism. And this is where we begin. And trust Sandra, that is why it plays out. Even in politics, in social life, in organization, employment, everywhere, it plays out. You can't escape it. And this, and now, thank God that we have a leader who has thrown himself as one of them. Tribalism.
Okay.
And these are the things that is affecting us. And these are the things in terms of employment is affecting us. In terms of development is affecting us. In terms of governance is affecting us. That we have forgotten that we can do without all these things. But we have forgotten it, Sandra. It's unfortunate that we have a leader that has come to a public, to address the public, and at the same time, not only addressing the public, separating different ethnic groups in Nigeria. It's quite unfortunate.
Thank you for calling, Sunday. Now, from a presidential candidate's comments on northern voters to the NIDCOM chair's comments on Nigerians abroad, Abike Dabiri got into a Twitter war, and that's our final story. If you're watching our live stream, I'm showing you footage of Nigerians in India, in a university in India, being chased around by Indians. It was shared by Professor Ashok Swain. He tweeted that video. Our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. You can see the Indians running around in sticks and big clubs trying to beat up the Nigerians who go to that university there. This particular lecturer is an Indian. He lectures at Uppsala University. The video is playing right now for you on our live stream. And like I said, you see Indian men beating up or fighting black people. And the professor tweeted, quote, Nigerian students are being attacked in a university campus near Delhi. 30,000 Nigerian students come to study in India, paying money. 50,000 Indians live in Nigeria to make money, end quote. Clearly, the professor was worried about the safety of Nigerian students who come to his country to make it richer. Abike Dabirawa responded to that tweet. She said, quote, this happened Saturday as a result of a fracas during a football match between African and Indian students. The Nigerian mission immediately took custody of 86 Nigerian students, invited the representatives of the Indian government, got their commitment to ensure safety of the students, who then returned back to campus on Sunday. Calm has returned to the campus. A few injuries were recorded and further investigations are ongoing. The Nigerian mission has made it clear that the Indian authorities would be held responsible if anything happens to any of the students. There is already a written commitment by the Indian authorities to protect our students. Any student feeling threatened should please report to the Nigerian mission in Delhi immediately. End quote. When she tweeted that thing, lots of Nigerians replied on Twitter, commending the Nigerian government for how it handled the matter. But some Nigerians felt that more could have been done. Somebody tweeted at her, quote, you guys are not doing enough to protect Nigerians. You're being soft with the Indian government about these issues. That's why issues like this will keep on happening. Over here in Nigeria, Indians go about their lives without fear of mob attacks. Why can't Nigerians have the same freedom, end quote. Now, this person that tweeted at Abike Dabiri was referring to the rampant attacks on Nigerians in India. It's something that we've talked about here on Hard Facts a couple of years ago. Then somebody else mentioned the situation in Indonesia where, a lot of Nigerians also face, attacks and persecution. We've covered it here on Hard Facts as well, if you remember. Remember, it was in Indonesia that they even beat up and arrested a Nigerian diplomat. So the person whose Twitter handle is aggressively obedient, avoid me, tweeted, quote, she should go to Indonesia and see how Nigerians are treated. Mumu woman supporting a failed government. She's equally part of the failure. I service, end quote. That's when Dabirawa said, quote, ode. You go to Indonesia, carry drugs, do cultism, and come begging to be rescued from death sentence. Thank God for NDLEA now saving people like you from death row. End quote. So now the matter where did it settle for Twitter now? And the biggest question rocking Twitter at the moment is there any excuse for a serving government official to talk to a Nigerian citizen that way? You have those who say yes, because the citizen started it by calling her Mumu. They say it's Twitter, and so if you do anyhow, you see anyhow. You know, bas goose. But others say no. They say that a serving government official must rise above the bas goose of Twitter. Others say that Dabirawa crossed a line by calling the man a criminal. Worse, they say that she made a blanket statement about Nigerians in Indonesia. She said, you go to Indonesia, carry drugs and do cultism. So you have those who are asking, should the woman charged with protecting Nigerians in the diaspora be making such blanket statements about Nigerians in a foreign country? Does that undermine the confidence in her ability or willingness to protect those Nigerians? And she's doing it in public, on a public forum, as public as Twitter. Yesterday, I told you about the accusations that immigration officials are extorting Nigerians traveling to Dubai. There's a growing sentiment that when a Nigerian travels abroad, not only are they on their own and cannot count on government, they also have to be afraid of what government may do to them. Did Dabri Arewa just add fire to that smoke? 0700-993-993-993. What do you think about the comments from the boss of NITCOM? I really hope our listeners in Indonesia can call in. I want to hear from them. Skype is Nigeria Info FM. Women, call us on 01465-7190. And yes, you can talk about all our stories on today's Big Three. We've just covered all three of them. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Madam Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, my name is Dan Baba.
Welcome, Dan Baba.
Thank you. On this Abike Dabiri issue, I've read through it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm not a fan of government, especially this present government.
Okay.
But there's something we Nigerians do a lot. We justify crime, especially on Twitter.
Mm.
Anybody that speaks against evil that the people of Nigeria do, they call, there are some group of people on Twitter that will attack you, abuse you, insult you.
Hmm.
I mean, the gentleman's tweet.
Hmm.
Come on. How can you refer to a government official as a mumu?
Hmm.
She's a human being. I'm not making an excuse for her.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to engage people.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken against evil that Nigerians do. My sister, me, I don't respond to people on Twitter.
Hmm.
You need to read through the response. Just try it one day and tweet about maybe evil that Nigerians do and see the response you get.
Hmm.
If indeed we want people to respect us, we ourselves need to respect ourselves first. You can't call a government official a fool. Can you get up and call the president of your country such name? They will get you arrested. I think we need to exhibit some, you know, discipline in this country. It's not a free for all.
Hmm.
It's not good. What the guy did was wrong. Although the woman herself made mistake, you know, overreact.
Hmm.
But the guy himself made a very big mistake.
All right. Thank you, Baba, Dan Baba, for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Madam Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Madam Sandra, I want to speak on article statement.
Okay.
I wonder, because you see this statement, if you remember, Rabiu Kwankwaso also have made such a statement Peter Obi went to him for merger that if he agrees to be the running mate to Peter Obi, that the Northerner will not vote for Igbo candidate.
Right.
I don't know whether you remember that.
I remember, yes.
That is their own mindset. That is their own mindset, and it's very, very bad. I wonder if Atiku should go to the East to campaign, whether will he still say the same statement, or if he also the West, releases what statements will he now use? So he should apologize to Nigerians. Thank you very much, and God bless you, ma'am.
Bless you as well. Thank you very much for calling. We've got Shade on the line. Hi, Shade.
Hi, Sandra. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good.
Hmm.
So with regards to Atiku, well, what can I say? He's saying to his gallery, his people. This is not the first time he's saying it. It probably won't be the last time, and he'll keep saying it because he thinks that's what they want to hear. And to electorate should just be smart and, you know, decide on which way you want to go. If you like what they're saying, go for them. If you don't, then don't go for them. Mm-hmm. With regard to the Twitter, Abike Dabi's response, now, you know what they say, when they go low, we go high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. See, I don't understand. People don't know how to engage in dialogue. There's no need to call anybody, regardless of whether you're government official not in the mood. There's no need to insult somebody. You want to get your point across, you get it.
Right.
You insult somebody, the person has the right to insult you back.
Right.
I mean, that's just how I feel. I mean, the person can go, you know, the high road and say, you know what, you called me a mood, I'm going to ignore that. But not everybody's going to do that. So if somebody gives it back to you, then don't complain. No one should complain because the guy shouldn't have said it first. You don't like this government's time. But then why call her a mumu and say I service and all that?
Right.
And then she gives it back. I mean, shouldn't have also given, anyway, both of them are wrong, chat.
Right. Okay, all right, Shade. Thank you very much for calling. We've got Ngozi Okelue joining us over Skype. Hi, Ngozi.
Hello, Sandra. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. How are you? Where are you joining us from?
I'm calling you from Michigan.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I am calling today to speak about the immigration issues in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
I am somebody who loves to fish. I love being in nature. And the last time I came to Nigeria, I came with my fishing line, which was well packed.
Mm.
And as I was leaving the country, the immigration guy asked me, what is this? I told him a fishing line. He said, there's no way I could travel back with it. I'm like, why? I came into the country with it, and you can't tell me not to take it back. He said, no, it's not allowed. I'm like, where is it written that it's not allowed?
Hmm.
Finally, someone, one of them called me aside and said, oh, God, find something for us now. I'm like, I'm not finding you anything.
Hmm.
I have the right to take my fishing pole with me anytime I come and go. He said, no, Oga, if you can't give us something, you are not going with this.
Ah.
I said, no way. I have to speak with somebody. So luckily, I found one Oga amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
And that one called me and said, what do I do? So I had to tell him that I was a student. He said, how am I able to fund my education in the United States? I'm like, Oga, it's none of your business.
Now, wow.
I said, it's none of your business. I have a flight to catch. He said, but okay, my boy said something, find something for them. I said, I don't have anything with me. He said, okay, where's your passport? He checked my passport, my Nigerian passport.
Right.
He said, Oga, your passport, it will expire in 1 month. I said, well, I am traveling with my American passport going back to the States.
Mm.
He said, well, since your passport expires in a month, there's no way we can let you go here.
I'm sorry, what?
He said, there's no way we can let you go here. I'm like, for why? Then one of them wrote down a figure, 36,000. I'm like, there's no way in this world I'm going to pay you guys 36,000. Believe me, these people held me there for a long time until I called a friend in Nigeria and said, please, can you wire some money into this person's account?
Oh, my God.
That was the only way I could leave Nigeria.
Oh, my.
And at some point, I said, what am I even going back to that country to do when everybody wants to frustrate you, to make life miserable for you?
Mm.
I don't know where all these ineptitude people got into the system, and they're making life miserable for people who come home to do their own things. So it's really, really, really affecting the morale of people who come in and go back to Nigeria, come into that country and about to leave.
Sorry about that. Ngozi Okolue, thank you so much for calling. And we appreciate you sharing your story with us. And I do hate that this story ended like this. I also hate that I had to let you go because I have a break coming up, because I'd love more information. So if you can, please call back. I'd love more information. The name of the officers who did this, when this thing happened, where it happened, etc., etc. Don't go away, Lagos.
Listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Let's go to social media now. Stanley from Magboro says, my aged mother is now sleeping in the open space. It rains on her. The sun also sets on her and rises on her. Here is her graduate son working for 40,000 naira with family. Every night I sleep with tears in my eyes. Mr. Stanley Magboro, I'm really sorry that you're dealing with this. Honestly, you have my sympathies. We've got Saint Francis from Agopalasway who says, Sandra, people misunderstood Atiku's speech. He made on a northern platform. He was speaking to the northerners asking for their vote. He could have done the same if he was on a southern platform. Atiku is too experienced to make such remarks. Okay. We've got Remy from Akoka who says, what should Joe Biden or his appointees do whenever they call him names on social media? Trump was called all sorts of names. A world leader was slapped a few weeks ago and heaven did not fall. So Nigerians should not make this online dragging a Nigerian thing, as if we don't see what happens across the world. What Abike did was unprofessional and disgraceful. Same way her principal Buhari told the world that Nigerians are corrupt. Nigerian youths are lazy. Like a pointer, like appointee. Elections have consequences. Vote wisely. That's a message from Remy in Akoka. Remy, thank you for your message. We've got a message here from Clemento who says, if Atiku said North should not vote for Igbo Yoruba, heaven would have fallen. Nobody will force me to vote on my wish. Watch all the colors. They are all from one region. Clemento, thank you very much. I don't think anybody's forcing you to vote, though. You did your house, depress yourself by yourself. We've got a message here from, okay, did you leave your name? Hold on, let me see. You didn't leave your name, oh. But you say, Sandra, so we stop playing this ethnic card.